All right. Good afternoon and welcome to Ask the Vet. My name is Beth Broom. I'm hosting the show today. And today's guest is Dr. Chuck Maker of Alpine Equine Services, correct?
Yeah. Alpine Equine Hospital, Alpine Equine Service.
Okay. And that was formerly part of Alpine Animal Hospital. Is that correct, Dr. Maker?
Right. Alpine Animal Hospital just underwent kind of a business restructuring to kind of put people that are passionate about dogs and cats and horses in the right boxes, if you will, to try and better serve our clients.
Nice. I just want to remind everyone that Ask the Vet is a call-in show, so if you do have any questions for Dr. Maker, and you can try to stump him if you have a small animal question.
That would definitely stump me.
The phone number here is 963-2976, so please feel free to give us a call. So, Dr. Maker, I think a good topic for today would be horses in the winter. Obviously, this valley has a lot of horses. And it's winter, so.
It's not winter yet.
Oh, that's
true.
Well,
no, wait a minute.
I mean, it's almost Christmas.
Close. Tomorrow's winter.
Oh, is it actually tomorrow?
Right.
Specifically?
Yes.
Okay.
Specifically.
All right. Well, so tomorrow is winter. So, you know, a lot of people tend to sort of write off their horses for the winter as sort of easy. We'll just throw them out in the pasture, come get them in the summertime, no big deal. And I feel like maybe, you know, people are missing opportunity to give better care to their horses. So I wanted to just touch on a few things that people should be paying attention to. I think a good starting place, the ever so controversial blanketing or not blanketing, to blanket or not to blanket issue.
That is the question.
It is the question. What is your feedback for people on when to put a blanket on their horse? When do they take it off?
I mean,
issues.
It really isn't a black and white question or black and white answer, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, horses that are in a good body condition, that are eating a diet that's highly digestible, that have acclimated to the environment, that have heated water, that don't have special nutritional needs.
The perfect world.
No, I mean, there are these perfect world horses. We see them. I mean, a lot of the high-quality mountain grass hays offer enough calories for horses to do quite well, given heated and unfrozen water in an environment. That is to say that there's enough calories in that food to allow horses to maintain a normal body weight and, in addition, burn additional calories to stay warm. You know, we do see actually complications secondary to blanketing. You know, things like fungal and bacterial skin diseases. You know, there isn't a, you know, the older horse with specific advanced dietary needs, with aged dentition who can't physically eat enough food to stay warm and maintain a normal body weight. Absolutely. The blanket enables them to exhaust fewer calories staying warm, and henceforth put more calories toward maintaining a stable body weight.
Okay, and just to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. The number here is 963-2976 if you do any animal-related questions for Dr. Maker. So for the horse owner who has a middle-aged to older horse, like, what are they looking for to tell them that that horse requires a blanket? I mean, you looking for an... It doesn't have to be an emaciated horse to say that it required a blanket.
By no means. It's more a question to back up a step is, you know, what are you feeding your horse? You're feeding it. It's what is its body weight this fall before it grew a winter coat? I think that can be challenging without some quantitative assessment to know that your horse is at a stable body weight. You know, weight tapes, I think they're like 350, 375 over at the co-op, something like that. We offer them free of charge. You know, people can weigh their horse every couple of weeks with a weight tape. We've looked at that with digital scales and found it's quite accurate.
And you're just looking to maintain and not see loss.
A horse is, he must be eating enough. He's not losing weight. And, you know, horses in general, herbivores in general, things that eat plants, have to eat about 1 to 2% additional calories per day for every 10 degrees of temperature it drops below 45. So when it's got a temperature high of 25 every day, horses have to eat, that's two increments, horses have to eat approximately 3 to 4% more calories per day. That equates to about 5 or 6 extra pounds a day just to stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
So if your horse is...
Oh, look, we have a caller.
One of those three people listening is calling in.
That's right. Thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Hi, Dr. Mather.
Hello.
I have an older horse that I take care of, and he has shoes on his front only, and they have a tendency of getting, like, ice balls, and he ends up with high heels. Is there something I can do?
You know, a lot of times, some horses don't have podiatry issues, so they can go barefoot during the winter as long as they get trimmed regularly. But a lot of horses need to maintain shoes, and we put popper pads and things. And it's kind of like, you know, popper pads come in two forms. You know, the relative degree of stickiness of the snow is affected by humidity. So you'll find that when the snow is dry and fluffy, it doesn't stick to the bottom of the feet. And it's just like waxing your cross-country skis. The temperature affects how much snow sticks to them. Anecdotally, I would say some people have found it effective applying things like Crisco and coconut oil to the soles of their horses' feet. I think before that works, usually making sure that their frogs are trimmed and getting good farrier care to allow for kind of the natural process of, you know, the horse's foot is supposed to clean itself, if you will. Trimming, shoeing as appropriate, trying those anecdotal remedies. And quite often, depending on the weather conditions, sometimes it just doesn't happen and you need to help your horse by picking the horse's feet. We do see horses that develop some foot soreness that walk around on the quote-unquote high heels, the ice balls. So sometimes it can be more effective to take that barefoot horse and put shoes and popper pads on them in the winter if you're not able to pick their feet as often as necessary.
Great, great, great. Thank you so very much.
You're right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's actually good. I don't want to move off of the topic of blanketing, although it's unfortunately there seems to be no hard and fast rule on that.
Well, to finish the comment on blanketing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, what were you?
If a horse has to eat 3 or 4 extra pounds of hay a day to maintain that weight because it's gotten to a temperature that it requires additional food, horses can only eat about 3% of their body weight a day. So it gets to be the question of, can my horse physically
eat enough,
intake enough feed,
right,
you know, and maintain a body weight? And if your horse has aged dentition or Cushing's disease or the quality of the forage isn't quite adequate, those kinds of questions come directly into play when trying to figure out if your horse medically needs to be blanketed.
And is there if your horse with those issues medically does need to be blanketed to retain the appropriate body weight, is there a temperature of which that is like under 20, under 25?
Well, the horse with the big stomach that derives its nutrition from fermentation produces a lot of heat. So a horse's thermoneutral temperature is considered to be 45 degrees.
Okay.
You and I are probably considered, you know, room temperature 65, somewhere thereabouts.
I like about 80.
Yeah, I figured. Horses are about 45. So, you know, if you keep your horse blanketed at you know, in those warm afternoons when they've got a windbreak and they're in the sun, you'll probably find they're sweating under those blankets. And then that moisture underneath the blanket potentiates the ringworm, the rain rot.
Right, some of these other
so
skin
blanketing
problems.
Can be quite a management scenario where you got to put the blanket on at night, take it off first thing in the morning, air it out, clean it at the laundromat every now and then.
Right, because if you do leave a blanket on, and I mean, discussing some of these skin issues, I mean, can they get like a ring rot or a you know, a ringworm or rain rot or ring whatever?
Sure. Well, most of those things that we get, whether it's pasture and dermatitis down on the lower limbs or rain rot, which is a bacterial infection, or ringworm, which is a fungal infection. Most of those things are opportunistic pathogens.
Mm-hmm.
They don't occur when the sun is long in the day and we've got lots of sunshine and the humidity is low in the spring, summer. But you blanket them, or the humidity goes up, the dampness goes up, the temperatures fall, you mat the horse's hair under a blanket, it allows for an ordinarily commensal organism, if you will.
Commensal.
One that's already there.
I got
in low
it.
Numbers,
no, that's just what I haven't.
To become
to use
kind
that.
Of opportunistically invade the horse's skin and, and develop infections and problems. So that's why oftentimes the question of these wintertime skin diseases is usually one that we can trace back to tweaking a management practice to keep them healthier and happier.
So is laundering a blanket necessary then?
Well, I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, horses have lots of dander and dirt and whatnot, and they the humidity buils up in the blanket, and they can be certainly you can see horses' skin infections transfer one to the other if you share blankets and tack and other things. So
gotcha.
Yeah, washing it. I mean, they're horse blankets aren't cheap anymore, so keeping them clean and maintaining them is pretty
important.
Good idea.
Yeah. And just to remind everyone, we still do have here about 10 minutes. So if you have any questions for Dr. Maker, the phone number here is 963-2976. Give us a call. So I do believe there is a skin condition, not a skin condition, but isn't there in my notes? Isn't there something that horses without a lot of pigment in the face can struggle with in the winter with the snow and the reflection, things like that?
I mean, we see that just living closer to the sun, period, at this elevation. But
the winter can accelerate.
The winter reflective, you know, the UV index of who hasn't gone spring skiing on the snow and gotten a sunburn because the UV comes from the top and bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So we do see a number of horses develop problems around like unpigmented eyes where they have pink lid margins and pink noses and fair skin on their lower limbs develop solar UV related issues.
And is there something to be done, or is there a need to pay attention to that specifically in the winter, and what can be done for precautions?
Well, just like I'm not an MD, but I've been told that skin damage is a cumulative thing.
Sure.
We see it happen with horses, too, where we see chronic UV changes to unpigmented skin causes some precancerous changes that, if uncontrolled, lead to skin cancer. So those fair-skinned horses really would benefit from fly masks to provide shade as much as they would flies when they're snow covered and high UV index days in the middle of winter.
And we do make those ones with a little nose shield.
Yep, for the really fair skinned horses. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And right. And then would you then potentially, even on a day that doesn't require a blanket, be for your paint horses and stuff needing like a...
The best one I found is one...
A whole blanket?
My Little Pony sunblock. It's like if you put it on, you can't scrape it off.
Interesting. And, they make a sunblock
For horses. Yes, and it's pretty effective. We see horses that get burned from,
I'm sure,
sun. So yeah, you can manage that well easily.
Okay, My Little Pony sunblock. there it is. Just a reminder: this is a call-in show. Dr. Maker's anxiously awaiting questions. The number here is 963-2976. So, you know, you were discussing feet. I know feet is an issue. A lot of horses do get their shoes pulled in the winter, although there's performance horses, obviously, that and or corrective footwear that needs to be left on. You know, is it better to pull horses' shoes in the winter? That seems to be traditionally what's been done, but is that what's best for these guys?
I think the question you start off with is, why does my horse wear shoes?
Mm-hmm.
And just because I'm not riding him as much in the winter, does it mean I can just necessarily pull his shoes? Until we get some substantially frozen ground, we've had quite a bit of mud and ice mixture this past month. we see a lot of issues like thrush and mm-hmm. subsolar abscesses.
Right, because the rocks are still on the ground and the pebbles and whatever.
Thawed, rethaw, free mm-hmm. frozen, and horses' feet stand in it all the time, and their feet are a reflection of the trimming and regular farrier care that they get mm-hmm. and the substrate that they walk on. So in these muddy environments, it's particularly important to make sure you're picking their feet out daily.
Mm-hmm.
That prevents thrush many times, and keeping them trimmed and keeping their walls upright really does a lot to keep those white lines tight and avoid subsolar abscesses
mm-hmm.
that we see a lot of in the transition seasons in spring and late fall.
And so then potentially not pulling shoes in the winter is a good idea depending on your horse's lifestyle. And do you recommend like a snow pad?
Yeah, I think if your horse is staying shod in the winter, he usually is like, I need snow pads or one of the two forms of snow pads to be added to his shoeing regimen.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary. But many of our show horses, just won't thrive foot-wise if they're out on frozen ground. If you wear shoes your entire summer and fall and then you go barefoot, your soles and hoof walls are a reflection of the support you've given him all year. So
I mean, I don't have hoof walls, but my feet get sensitive I go barefoot since I don't run around barefoot often.
Correct.
Yes.
So
yes.
Horses, you know, what you often do in spring and summer doesn't necessarily need to change or can't be changed without some necessarily consequences in mm-hmm. the frozen ground months.
Okay. That's good. That's good to know because I think that's somewhat of a misconception that you have to just pull their shoes off because it's winter, even if you're not riding as frequently.
It's true that horses' feet grow precipitously slower in the late fall and winter months, but they still need hoof care.
Right.
And oftentimes one of the reasons we're putting shoes on to begin with is that they have thin soles and need the mechanics for some orthopedic condition that a shoe implies. So going and taking the shoes off isn't necessarily always the right answer.
Right. Okay. That's good. That's good information. I wanted to touch on colic in the winter. That's colic is always, you know, when you talk about horses and horse cares, inevitably you talk about colic. Would you say you feel like colic is worse in the winter? It seems like colic might be worse in the winter.
We always see it more this time of year, personally. Half a dozen or so cases in the last couple of weeks. And the vast majority of those have some nutritional management component connected to them.
Meaning what?
The classic one is that horses are still out browsing, eating, you know, pasture that's residual from the spring and summer. Mm-hmm. Plants undergo a maturation process this time of year where they become relatively undigestible.
Okay.
And it becomes more like eating cardboard, if you will, than something that has got simple and complex carbohydrates that they can digest. So those things they're eating they have a higher bulk content to the fecal consistency, and they require more water to metabolically process.
Mm-hmm.
At a time when horses naturally, with the lower temperatures, drink less to begin with. Mm-hmm. So we see a lot more of impaction colics and dehydration type associated GI disturbances that, you know, have kind of at their root either a diet change or a lack of water intake or some other environmental nutritional stressor that initiates them.
So to prevent colic, you know, or to do your best to prevent colic for your horse this time of year, it looks like adding more water to their diet, correct?
Ensuring that they're drinking enough water, and you can do things to encourage them to drink water, but making sure that they're always eating a readily digestible, high-quality feed with a heated water, you know, an electric water or propane water heater. Because horses have been shown to drink somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20% less water per day if the water temperature is not maintained at a palatable temperature. And that equates to a substantially less volume of water, which all plant-eating animals, cows and horses, require for normal digestion and movement through the system. So,
I mean, are you ever looking at adding things to their water, like electrolytes or anything like that? Is that even necessary in the winter? Or like a
we did that as kids. We'd put a Kool-Aid bucket or a Gatorade bucket and a regular bucket in the stall. And some horses really take to electrolyte-laden water, and some horses won't touch it. You know, you can do what you can do. You can add salt blocks, both white and brown, trace mineral in the pasture.
Do you think there's a benefit in that?
I do. I mean, just like you, if you salt your food extra, you drink
more
water.
I'm a big salt eater.
I figured.
I like
that
salt.
That sugar. I have you.
I am a huge sugar eater.
Yep. But yeah, ensuring, you know, it's hard to necessarily, you can't soak hay if it's, you know, 12 degrees out, it freezes solid.
Sure.
So, I think you're better off focusing, if a horse does need some extra calories beyond the hay that it can intake, you can certainly use a balanced grain and mineral supplement. You can potentially add water to that.
Okay.
You know, horses need to drink about 5 or 6 gallons, 1,000-pound horse, you know, a day if they're not exercising, just to maintain normal. And they will drink substantially less than that if they're not moving around and the water's not heated.
Okay, so that's a good thing to know. It makes it unfortunate if you have to, like, if you have automatic waterers, it's hard to manage.
Yeah,
knowing how much water they're drinking.
They do have meters for them, so you can monitor them with meters.
Okay,
that is a issue that we do see, is like, oh, you know, we didn't know he was drinking less water.
Right, because of the automatic water situation. That is the downside to those things. You know, we only have a few more minutes, Dr. Maker. Do you have any, is there anything we missed that's really important for people to know about their care of their horse in general, or specifically associated with the cold months?
I think you started off the conversation in the right path, is that just because it's winter and we're not riding them as much, it's probably the time of the year you need to look at them the most frequently, assess their body weight, assess what you're feeding them, get help from somebody if you have questions on what their needs are. Make sure your farrier is still visiting them on a maybe a little less frequent, but still frequent basis in the winter. They still have needs. And because so many of the seasonal problems we see in horses have a management component to them that circles back to feed, water, nutrition needs this time of year.
Do you, and I might, this might be a question for another day, because we're almost out of time, but do you ever see any issues with heaves or things like that in the winter in some of these closed up barns?
We do see air quality be an issue. We don't typically have the molds they do in the Southeast, but we do see heated barns become kind of a dustier, a little bit higher ammonia content, and that has been shown, and we do see some lower airway issues crop up more in the winter. We try and manage those horses by finding them a stall that has a Dutch door where they can get fresh air.
So obviously if you hear any kind of coughing or wheezing that shows up.
Coughing is usually the first sign.
Okay, or nasal discharge, anything like that. Definitely call the veterinarian for those types of things.
Take note. 'Cause,
yeah, got it. Gosh, I think that probably about wraps it up for us. It's about to be Christmas, Dr. Maker.
Merry
Are you ready?
Christmas.
You ready for Christmas?
Give all those horses a carrot cake, Christmas cake.
Yeah,
Happy
candy
holidays.
Cane. Candy canes are a big one. No, we don't like the sugar. Come on, it's
little
Christmas.
A little bit of sugar is okay.
On that note, all right.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas.